turn with me this morning, and I'll try to hit a few high points and give you some thoughts today. Usually, as an evangelist, I usually am preaching about being saved on a Sunday morning, but God gave me a different route to go this morning. I don't know why. And then we got here, and it seems like everything that's happened, everything the preacher said, has pointed towards something that I believe we all need. And that's the matter of discipleship. You realize there's not many real, true disciples. Hello?
Yeah, you're right. Not many followers.
If there's an area in which most of our churches are failing, it's in this area of discipleship. Yeah, I know some that are out there knocking doors and people are getting saved, but then many times their life never really amounts to anything. They never really get into serving God and being the disciple that God would have them to be.
Right. Amen.
Now, that's obvious. Let me just quickly read you a verse in John. Look over that chapter we were talking about, John 15. Look at verse 8. And in John 15, in verse 8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified." Now, part of the reason why I'm preaching this way this morning is because I want God to be glorified.
Amen.
To Him be glory, the Bible says.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
He's worthy.
Amen.
Well, herein, you want to know how He's glorified? "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit."
Right.
But notice the last phrase. He said, "So shall ye be my disciples."
Right. Amen.
In other words, the ones that are bearing the fruit
right.
are the ones that are the real disciples. Well, not many in the pews today are bearing much fruit. That shows me the lack of real discipleship.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to show you a few things this morning quickly about real discipleship. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14, here's an area that Jesus gives us some rules about discipleship. And I hope that today you have a desire within your heart to be a disciple.
Amen.
Now, if you look up the word disciple, the word disciple means a learner. Amen. Once again, Sunday school lesson, Brother Travis. We need to want to be a learner.
Yes. Amen.
Also, it means a follower.
Amen.
We need to be both a learner and a follower in order to be a true disciple.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we only have those original apostles. Ain't no apostles around today. But every one of us can be His disciple. A learner and a follower. But one of the best definitions of a disciple I ever heard, and I love this one. You know what it is? A real disciple becomes an imitator of the teacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, God help me. Sean, I want to be that imitator.
Right.
Of the teacher.
Amen.
I want to be as much like Jesus as I can.
Yeah, amen.
I want to be His disciple.
Right.
Amen. And I want to show you quickly this morning some things that Jesus said, because there are some people that Jesus said cannot be my disciple. That's not a matter, really, I think, that they cannot, they just will not.
Right, yeah, right.
And you'll see that as we look at what He had to say. But
right.
Let's pause and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank You now for bringing us here this morning. And I know it wasn't in vain. I know, Lord, that there's a need that some people have that I'm sure You're going to meet this morning. And I pray, Lord, that You will. I pray maybe some of those needs already been met. Now bless now as we preach. Lord, give us just the words that you'd have said in the next few moments.
Yes.
And help every one of us to determine, I want to be his disciple. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to learn more about him.
Yes.
I want to be what he would have me to be after what he's done for me.
Yes.
Now have your way, I pray, in everything. Save that one that's lost. Should there be one here today without Christ? But Lord, I pray for every Christian in here that we'd leave here with a greater desire to be that true disciple. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
I want you to follow along with me quickly in Luke chapter 14. Look down in verse 25. Verse 25 says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, now here's a verse of scripture that a lot of folks have misunderstood. If you'll listen, I'll try to help you with it in just a minute. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren,
yeah,
and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point out something to you right here. He didn't say that person couldn't be saved, but he said he'll never, ever be my disciple.
Right, yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right, yes, sir.
There is a difference between just being saved and really being a disciple.
Yes, there is.
Now, I want to tell you, God did not save you just to warm a church pew. God saved you to use you for his honor and glory. That's not just the work of the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and the missionaries and others. That ought to be the desire of every born-again believer.
Amen. Yes, preacher. Amen.
Oh, there's a great multitude. Notice that first verse we read, verse 25, said there's a great multitude following Jesus.
Yes.
But out of that great multitude, he turned and began to talk to them about being a disciple.
Yeah.
Because out of the ones today across this world that are saved, I'm afraid there's a very few of that group that determined to step out and truly be his disciple.
Yes.
As they ought to be.
That's right.
Now let's keep reading. He said, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me,
right,
cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath,
right,
he goes, say it again, he cannot be my disciple.
Right, exactly right.
Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let me just quickly say this. I'll wait on that there at the end. You know what he said? There's some good for nothing Christians. He said they're fit for nothing. Not only for land, even for a dunghill. Come on, I'm in Kentucky,
right,
I'm in Tennessee.
That's right.
I know what it is to get old wine and pour it in the outhouse.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right, sir.
Come on, I mean, I'm there. But you know what? He said, if the salt has lost its savor, by the way, it's still salt. It just has lost its savor.
Yeah, you're right, preacher. Right.
He said, it ain't even good for the dunghill. Wouldn't be worth pouring out in the outhouse.
Amen.
Won't even do the job there. We could go into that more, but we won't. I'm going to stay out of that house for a while.
Yep,
but you know what? Hey, that's what he says, and it's fit for nothing. And he said, but men cast it out. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus said, all that come unto me, I'll in no wise cast it out.
Right.
Didn't say he'd cast it out. But I guarantee you there's a lot of people who have so messed up their lives that now, hey, men cast them out and they can't be used of God.
That's right. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Let me just, I think of so many preachers that were preachers, and then next thing you know, they break up. Like I said, I've had that woman back there 35 years. I'm planning on keeping her till Jesus comes.
Yeah,
I'm serious. But let me tell you something. When that happens, you know what? They lose. Well, today there's so many compromisers that
you're right,
they were still running with some of that. They lose influence with people that really know the word.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Yes.
Men have to cast them out.
Yes, sir. Right.
They become good for nothing.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, I want to be his disciple.
Amen.
Yep.
Now I want you to look at this text down through here where we just read it. He said, first of all, in verse 28, now, if you're going to be his disciple, he said, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost?
Yes, sir.
The first thing I want to tell you today about being a disciple is count the cost.
Yes.
Amen.
It don't cost you a thing to get saved. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Yes.
It don't cost you a thing if you're here today without Christ to be saved. But I promise you, if you're determined to be his disciple, it is going to cost you.
Amen. Right.
Right.
You better count the cost.
Yes. Amen.
You see, and I don't like it. Jim, I hate to preach this way. I'm an evangelist. I have the gift of encouragement. I like to encourage all the time.
Right.
But this is one time that I have to tell you, hey, I don't want to encourage you and get you all worked up and get you saying, hey, I'm going to do something for Jesus, and then you throw it out the window.
Right.
Ain't too many do that.
That's so crazy, brother.
Young fellas come, surrender to preach, and boy, they're going to set the world on fire. And they have a good desire. After all, God sent the desire to build a tower.
Uh-huh.
In other words, something that'll shine, probably have a light at the top of that tower, like a lighthouse.
Right.
Shine the light for all to see. That was his desire.
Yeah, preacher. Yeah.
No, all he had was the foundation. If you're saved, you got the foundation. For other foundation, you're no man laid than his laid. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But he didn't have enough to pay the cost in order to finish it.
Right.
And what happened? People lack that. There are people that come down an aisle here and brag about what they were going to do, and then they went out and didn't do it, and people lacked that.
Right.
The world said, yeah, that's some kind of Christian.
Amen.
Hello.
You're right.
They tell me that all over Jerusalem there were people who had tried to build a palace like the Herod's. Herod's summer palace was there, and they tried to build, and they lay a huge foundation, but then they didn't have enough to do anything else. And people would drive by or walk by in those days and laugh.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, it's going to cost you something.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus sort of explained that in that verse that I said a lot of people have trouble understanding. When he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, you know the whole line there. Somebody would say, well, brother Bobby, I don't hate my daddy. Let me tell you something. Let me explain what he's saying. Let me do it with Scripture, all right? That's the best thing. Hold your finger there. We'll come back, but flip over quickly to the book of Genesis. Chapter 29. Genesis 29, and I want you to understand that actually love and hate are sort of opposite ends of the same emotion. That's why I've seen folks that talk saying, oh, I really love this person, and 3 years later, it was the other end of the emotion.
Right.
They hate them with as much passion as they loved them before.
Right.
You see, when God sees, calls it hate, He's talking really about a lesser degree of love. And I've showed you that right back here in Genesis 29. There's a story there about old Jacob. And you know how that Jacob loved Rachel. And he worked for old Laban, his daddy-in-law, for 7 years to get Rachel. And when 7 years passed, instead of getting Rachel, that crooked daddy-in-law gave him Leah.
Yes, sir.
The older daughter.
Yeah.
And the reason was, he said, I tell you, it's not right to marry off the younger daughter until I marry off the older daughter.
Right.
Because that messed up a lot of folks. You know, having more than one wife.
Yeah.
Well, I said, I've done said enough about
that. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry.
But it's God's word, whether people like it or not.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And don't get upset if there's not a whole many here that hasn't been touched in some way with divorce. But anyway, God said, old Laban said, if you work 7 more years, I'll give you Rachel too. And so he did. He went ahead and he had both of them. But the Bible says, look at this, in verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, underline, he loved also Rachel more than Leah. What's the Bible saying? He just loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And served with him yet 7 other years. But look how God saw it in verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, isn't that clear?
Yeah.
He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. In other words, God said, well, you hate her. Well, that he didn't hate her in the sense that he went in there and spit on her, cussed her out, kicked her, mistreated her. He just didn't love her as much as he loved Rachel. And God said, Leah was hated. Now, if you get a hold of that way back in Genesis, then when you get over there, you don't have any problem with what Jesus said. If a man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and all down the line, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? Does it mean we're to hate those folks the way we think of hate? No. It simply means that when our love for our father or our wife or our mother or our children or anyone else is compared with the love that we have for God, in God's eyes, it ought to appear as hate. Amen. Our love for Him has got to be supreme. If you're to be His disciple, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you.
That's right.
Hey, I'm telling you, count the cost.
Right. Yes, sir.
Count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my own sister quote scripture to me that's not even in the Bible. You know how that is. She'll say, charity begins at home. That's not in the Bible. Yeah, a lot of people quote things like that aren't in the Bible. But you know what she said? We choose home more. And I have to tell her, sis, I love you. She's my older sister, only sister of God. I said, I love you. And I talk to her every week. But I said, I'd love to be with you more. But I said, though I love you, I love him more.
Right.
And I got to do what he's called me to do. Amen. If my kids, just like you do with your kids, I reckon you do, I think everybody does, who do you love? They say mama, and dad wants to be on them. They say dad, and mama wants to be on them. My kids learned early, they just say Jesus. You know why? I want my kids to love Jesus more than they love dad.
Amen. Yes.
I want them to love Jesus more than they love mom.
Yes.
I mean, you may have some friends that you're not willing to let go of what you may have to in order to be his disciple.
Amen.
The question is, who do you love the most?
Right.
I'm telling you, count the cost.
Well,
to be his disciple, it's going to cost you some time.
Yes.
It's going to cost you the use of your talents. It's going to cost you some of your treasures.
Right.
It's going to cost you some work. In order to be his disciple,
it
costs you to be saved, but if you're going to be his disciple, I promise you, there's a price to be paid.
Yes, sir.
And you had better count the cost before you ever start.
Yes, sir.
Not only count the cost, quickly. Chart the course.
Yeah, that's good.
Chart the course.
Amen.
You see, he likened it to being like a man building a building. I got news. By the way, I like your new entrance way. You didn't have that last year on the field. That's nice. Do you know what? This building was not built because somebody erected a tube of board and said, that looks good, let's nail another one to it. I guarantee you, somewhere, somebody had a plan.
Right.
Probably a blueprint.
Right.
Laid out for this building. Amen. If they didn't, at least the builder had the blueprint in his mind.
Right.
It was planned.
Yes, sir.
It didn't just come together. It didn't just happen.
Amen.
You're not just going to happen to be his disciple either.
Amen.
Amen.
Now that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
It ain't just going to happen. You're going to have to plan of devoting some time. Amen. To read your Bible.
Amen.
To being in church.
Right.
To being faithful. To being what you ought to be. I can go on and on. Listen, when this building was built, there was a goal in mind. He also likened it to a man going to war. Guess what? If you're going to war, you better have a battle plan.
Right.
Amen. You better have a strategy.
Amen.
You better have an end in mind. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Chart the course.
Right.
Hey, have a goal in mind. Nothing wrong with that.
Boy, that's good for you.
Now, you've got to have some goals in this life. He that striveth for nothing will attain it. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 3:14. I think about, we just saw the Olympics. Those people in the Olympics that won, that Michael Phelps, was it Mark Phelps? What's his name?
Michael Phelps?
Yes.
You know why he won all those gold medals? He planned on it.
Amen. Sure he did.
Right.
That's right, brother.
He had a diet that would be conducive to it.
Yep.
He had a workout regimen that planned more.
Everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
He did all those things throughout his life to bring him to that point that he would win those gold medals. He didn't just walk up on the platform and they hung it around his neck.
Right. That's right.
Right.
He had a goal.
Sure.
He went there to win. And when he did.
Good for you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Christian, better get some goals in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I'll come back here next year and you'll be in the same place you were now.
Right.
Well,
I mean, let's go forward for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You can. I ain't got time. Let's just go on quickly. Verse 26. Notice then how he said in verse 26. He said, let's go on down. He said in verse 27, he said there, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me. Number one, count the cost. Number two, chart the course. Number three, come after Christ. Notice how he said, come after me. Too many times. Is it okay if I be honest with you?
Free.
Too many times,
amen.
Brother Bobby's wanting to be first.
Yeah, you're right. I know what you're talking about.
Too many times, Brother Bobby's thought he was something. And it's those times when I thought I was something, I found out what a nothing I really was.
Yeah, definitely.
Amen.
Yeah.
For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
I'm telling you, amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
No, I got news for you. I want to come after Christ. To Him be the glory. To Him me,
yes,
God.
Amen.
Oh, and I want you to see Bobby McGavin today. Look at Jesus.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author of
yes.
Oh, see him.
Amen.
I want to come after him.
Right.
I want him to be first place. I want him to be number one.
Right.
Not only did he say come after Christ, but then he said carry the cross.
Right.
What's that? I've seen people that counted as crosses. One lady said had an afflicted child. She thought that was a cross. Listen, that was thrust upon her. She didn't have a choice in that matter.
Right.
A cross, he said, is something that you choose to bear. It's like Jesus. His cross was what he came to do.
Amen.
And he's determined to do it.
Amen.
God has a job for you. A cross for you to bear. And what you ought to do is determine today, I'm going to carry that cross just like Jesus did till I die on it.
Amen. Right.
People ask me sometimes, you ever going to retire? No, I'm going to back up and refire.
Amen. Yes, sir.
As long as I keep going.
Yeah.
Amen.
Here we go.
As long as God will allow me, I want to keep proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Free.
True.
That's right.
You see, carrying the cross, Jesus said something you have to do daily. Over in the same book, chapter 9, verse 23 of Luke, he said, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Would to God we get up in the mornings and say, God, what would you have me to do for you today?
Amen.
If we do that, Lord, well, I guarantee you, the weak can take care of itself.
I sure you would.
If we just learn to do what He has us to do today.
Right.
Amen. The job He's got for us. Carry that cross. Oh, sometimes, yeah, it's a heavy load. Fuel prices are killing us.
Awful.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah.
But so far, praise God, God keeps supplying the needs. He still, and if he has to, he can let me strike oil in the middle of my living room.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
I'm still trusting him.
Yes,
pray for us.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, why? Because it's a job God's called me to do. A job God's called these folks to do with me. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes the cross gets heavy. But you just got to keep on doing what you know God wants you to do.
Amen.
That's why I'm here this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Good,
I'm telling you, carry the cross. Look here. He said in verse 31, oh, there's so many truths here, and I'm glad God showed me these things that I can maybe show you. He said, what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth? Hey, you're going to be his disciple. Here's the next point. You're going to have to consult the commander. Consult the commander.
Yes, sir.
See, some of you can never be his disciple because you're always going off trying to do what you want to do instead of listening to him.
Yes, right.
Some will never be his disciple because they haven't learned to stay in contact. Hey, you need to get your orders from headquarters.
Amen.
You got to stay in contact. You got to build a prayer line.
Yes.
In order to truly be his disciple.
Amen.
You're going to have to learn to talk to him. Amen.
Absolutely.
Consult the commander.
Yes.
Otherwise, that enemy that's coming against you, he's too mighty. He's too powerful. Our adversary, the devil, he's a roaring lion. And boy, he's out to devour folks. You better stay in contact.
Yes.
You see, one of the great strategies of war is to always cut off the lines of communication.
Right, right.
If you can do that, you'll get a group of men out there fighting the battle the way they think they ought to do it, on their own. They're not under the command from headquarters.
Right.
And you can defeat
them.
They'll lose that battle. Amen.
Right.
They'll lose it every time. God help us to stay in contact
with
our great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consult the commander. Let's pray as we ought. Then the Bible says, verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath. You know, there's some things that you're going to have to get rid of to be his disciple. Cast away the corruption in your life. Cast away the corruption. looking unto Jesus. That verse goes on in Hebrews, and it tells us there, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what? Talking about Olympic runners, I heard about 1 year ago that some family member, friend of his, had him made a pair of black racing trunks, and around the waistband, around the legs, they had woven in real gold, gold leaf. They were black with these gold etchings, like around the legs and around the waistband, and they gave them to him. And he said, "Boy, no, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." The guy said, "Will you wear them when you run in the Olympics?" He said, "No." He said, "Why not? I have them made for that purpose." He said, "Fill up. That gold is added to the weight."
Yeah, right.
He said, "When I cross that finish line, I may only win by a tenth of a second." And he said, "I can't afford to carry that much more weight."
Right.
"Just a little pretty."
That's right.
Right.
About that,
bro. Let us lay aside every weight,
yes, every
and the sin which
help,
so easily.
Yes,
amen.
Purge ourselves, like once again, John 15 talks about. Oh, he can purge us. Get rid of the corruption in our lives. Hey, if it's not helping us to be a better disciple, get rid of the thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I hope you got these. Count the cost. Chart the course, come after Christ, carry the cross, consult the commander, cast away corruption. But the final thing is this: continue in the commitment. Don't be one of these that start and stop, start and stop, start and stop. That ties in with the last two verses. You're still salt. But if you don't watch it, you get to the point where men will cast you out and you can't be used of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Have you got ears to hear today? Are you listening to what this old preacher is trying to tell you?
Amen.
When you make a decision for Jesus, you continue in that commitment. Look at it. Let me give you a verse. John chapter 8. And I'll close. In John chapter 8, Jesus said in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Have you believed on him? That's the first thing. You say yes. Well, then are you his disciple? Listen to what Jesus said. If ye continue, get that word continue. In other words, don't get in, get out, get in, get out. If ye, go back again to that abide in the vine. If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Yes.
Would you, to that, listen, I'm not here trying to get somebody to run down the aisle here and say, I'm going to sell out and be his disciple. Yeah, I am. I am trying to get that, but you know what? I don't want you to do that unless you really count the cost.
Amen.
Unless you're willing to pay the price. Unless you're willing to continue in that commitment. Keep on keeping on. Being faithful. There's an old blind man, John 9. He got saved. They kept asking him about it. He said, I don't know a lot about it. But he said, I know this. I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
And you know, as they kept asking him about what happened to him, I like what that blind man said. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's verse 27. Then he said this, wherefore would you hear it again? You want to hear it again? I've already told you, but I'll tell you again. But then I love this last line. He asked those old Pharisees this question. He said, will ye also be his disciple?
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? That word also. He doesn't discern me. This guy today be signed. When I was blind, I want to be his disciple.
Yes.
Will ye also be his disciple? They knew what he was talking about because they said, no, we're disciples of Moses.
Yeah.
Well, Moses is dead.
Right.
So is Muhammad.
That's right.
So is Buddha. So is Confucius. But thank God, my Jesus
is
alive forevermore. I